Good morning. We're going to jump into a new series today, and we're going to call it Cultivate a Heart of Gratitude. And this would be a great Thanksgiving series, but this is how it tends to work with me. God never gives me what would match our secular calendar necessarily. So this is, honestly, I didn't know what to preach during this series, and so when I don't know what to preach, I preach what God is preaching to me. And right now, this is what God is preaching to me, is to develop a heart of gratitude. God emphasizes the importance for us to be grateful all throughout the Bible. I looked up how many times does the word gratitude or thankful or thankfulness appear in the Bible, and it's somewhere around 229 times in both of the Old Testament and the New Testament. Some verses that you're probably familiar with is 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Maybe you've heard Psalms 104. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courtyards with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. Or maybe you go to this one a lot when you're anxious. Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and pleading with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And those are just a few examples in the Bible, some of the more common examples that we probably have heard, where the scriptures emphasize the importance of us having gratitude in our heart. So why would God emphasize the importance of being grateful all throughout the Bible? Well, it's because of this. Being grateful is key to having a healthy mental, emotional, physical, interestingly enough, and spiritual life. Now, God knew this because he created us. Now, this is not said anywhere very clearly in Scripture. He doesn't say be grateful so that you'll have a healthy mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual life. But what he does do is he gives us multiple scriptures that tell us to be grateful. And so it sounds like he is trying to make us develop this in our life. And if he's trying to develop something in your life, it's for your good. And so he created us, so he knew that this is how our life was meant to work, how we need to have an attitude of gratitude. And since here in recent years, science or psychology has begun to catch up to what God already knew. A UCLA study concluded this, that having gratitude or having an attitude of gratitude first seems to reduce depression symptoms. People with a grateful mindset report higher satisfaction with life, they have strong social relationships, and more self-esteem than those who don't practice gratitude. Gratitude also can reduce anxiety. Regularly practicing gratitude combats negative thinking patterns by keeping thoughts focused on the present. Most of our anxiety is rooted in us worrying about something in the future or being held by something down in the past. But if you are focusing on what you have in the moment, it reduces your anxiety. So that's how gratitude works in that way. I found this one to be interesting. Several studies show that a grateful mindset positively affects biomarkers associated with the risk for heart disease. A 2021 review of research finds that keeping a gratitude journal can cause a significant drop in blood pressure. The force is the force your heart exerts between beats, so the diastolic blood pressure. Having grateful thoughts, even if you don't write them down, also helps your heart by slowing and regulating your breathing to synchronize with your heartbeat. So there's actually physical health benefits to being grateful. It also relieves stress, and don't we know we have enough stress in life? Taking a moment to be thankful actually causes physiological changes in your body that will initiate the parasympathetic nervous system, which is the part of your nervous system that helps you rest and digest. So it activates a part of your brain that will help reduce stress. And then finally, it will improve sleep. People with an attitude of gratitude tend to pursue goals that keep them feeling good. A positive attitude promotes positive action. They engage in activities that support healthy sleep, such as eating well and exercising regularly. Now, when I was developing my sermon, I was thinking, how many of us struggle with one of these five things in our life? Pretty much all of us struggle with at least one of these five. And so I was thinking, maybe chances are 90% of us in this room or listening to me online or more, I don't think we're as grateful. I'm not saying this is a fix-all, but I will say this plays a big role. I don't think we are as grateful as we should be. And the reason why is because this is one thing in our culture, in our society, that the devil tries to take away from us at every opportunity. So this series is going to be about developing an attitude of gratitude so that, hey, we aren't dealing with these problems in our life as much as we have to. So let's first talk about what gratitude is exactly. And this was interesting because I looked up the definition for gratitude and it says gratitude is being thankful. So then I look up what's the definition of being thankful and it's showing gratitude. And I was like, okay, then I'm going to come up with my own definition. So here's the definition that I came up with. Gratitude is about recognizing the value that others add to our lives and showing our appreciation to them. And there's two parts to that definition that I want to point out that we'll be basically diving into today. It's about recognizing the value, and it's about showing our appreciation. It's one thing to be thankful, but not to show it. It's another thing to not necessarily recognize the value that other people add to our life. So let's talk about recognizing first. First, you have to realize that you are not so good and not so special that everybody around you is there to serve you. I hate to break your hearts this morning. You are not so good that other people give you things, treat you well, love you, etc. That does not originate from within yourself. Instead, it is others who choose to add value to your life and to my life. It's others who make our life more valuable. They add to our life. They make our life a little bit better. And so the first step to showing gratitude is recognizing the ways that others make our life better. To recognize the actions that they are taking, to recognize what they are giving us. There's a passage in Luke 17 that we'll be in today, kind of going back and forth to. And in Luke 17, it's a story about showing gratitude. It's an experience that Jesus had that we can learn from today. You probably have heard of it. It's about the 10 lepers. Luke 17, verses 11 through 19 says this. While Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 men with leprosy who stood at a distance met him. And they raised their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourself to the priest. And as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, he turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan, not even a Jew. Jesus responded and said, well, they're not 10 cleansed, but the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, stand up and go. Your faith has made you well. So only one returned to show his gratitude to Jesus. Now, we're talking about recognizing at this point. Do you think the other 9 recognized that they were healed? That they didn't have the leprous spots and all these things, all the oozing and goozing, all the nasty stuff that comes with leprosy? I'm sure they did. But where they fell short was that they didn't take the time to recognize who the one was that added value to their life. Maybe they thought that it had nothing to do with Jesus, that they just deserved to be healed, or that their body just miraculously healed itself. Maybe they thought they deserved it. I don't know. I don't know what their thinking process here, but the point of this whole story is that this one, only one of the ten, came back to show his appreciation for what Jesus did. And it just hit me that I started off by saying, I think 90% of us are not as grateful as we should be. 90% of the lepers were not as grateful as they should be. See, to really have gratitude, you have to, yes, recognize that something's happened, recognize who it was that added value to your life, and then you have to show your appreciation to them. Maybe those other lepers were appreciative. Maybe they did recognize it was Jesus who did it, but they didn't show their appreciation. Therefore, they're not meeting our definition of gratitude. To really have gratitude, we have to show it and not just feel it. And so we're going to talk about, probably over the next few weeks, about how to show gratitude to other people. But some simple ways, just by talking today, is, hey, by thanking them. Simply saying thank you. Or maybe you're doing something for them in return. Or maybe you're giving them some type of public recognition. I don't know what it is, but show your appreciation in some way to them. And if you've ever been shown appreciation, you know how that makes you feel. You know that it makes you feel good. It makes you want to do more things for them. Other day, example of this, I was mowing at my mother-in-law's, and Sarah got off of school, came up the driveway, and I acted like I was going to spray her with the spray that I was spraying. But I wouldn't mess up the car like that. Sherry has it messed up enough. And she said, I love you. I said, where did that come from? And she said, I'm just thankful for everything you do for my mom and our family. And that brought tears to my eyes. It felt good to be shown appreciation for the effort that I was showing. She showed gratitude to me, and that made me feel good. So I know that you have felt that too, if you've ever done something for somebody and they showed you actually true gratitude. They recognized and they showed it. Let's change gears a little bit, though. Our definition of gratitude is about recognizing the value that others. So far, I've kind of focused in on what other people do for you. But I specifically used others there because others includes God. And that's what the rest of the message is going to be focused around today. About what God has done for us. Because everybody in this room, everybody that has ever walked this earth, everybody that has breath in their lungs, we all should have gratitude for what God does for us. We all should have gratitude for what God does for us. Every person that is alive today or has ever lived in the first place need to recognize the truth that they would not even have life itself if it wasn't for God. There's a Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16, that shows what God does for us. He says, hey, you created my innermost parts. You've wove me in my mother's womb. I give thanks to you, God, because I am awesomely and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, when I was skillfully formed in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my formless substance, and in your book were written all the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. The psalmist is communicating to us that even before you were born, when you were formless, he knew you. He had your name written in the book. He knows how many days that we are going to live on this earth. He created you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Or this translation says, awesomely and wonderfully made. And that's the truth for every one of us, because we all were created by God. And what he creates is good. He created a world for us to live in that has everything we need. Has food, has water, has sunlight, has oxygen. The stars align perfectly for us to be right around the sun at the correct distance that we need to be. The earth right now is rotating at the right speed so that we are able to stay where we're at and not move around and all this stuff. James goes as far as to say in James 1:17 that every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shift in shadow. Every good thing, everything that is good in our life comes from God. We have to recognize that. And then we have to show our appreciation. So we can show our appreciation to God in similar ways to how we can show our appreciation to others. First, we can, in prayer, give thanks to Him. Philippians 4:6, we already talked about that. He says, let everything by prayer and pleading with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. He says, have a heart of thanksgiving when you make your request known to God. He's talking about prayer there. We also publicly give thanks to God through what we do. Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. And then, of course, we read this verse at the beginning, Psalm 100, verse 4. We can worship Him. We can enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courtyards with praise. Give thanks to Him and bless His name. And we'll come back to that one at the end. You know, I think in the room here, when we recognize what God has done for us, I don't think it's necessarily a problem that we don't show our appreciation to Him. I think in this room, we know God has blessed us. I think that sometimes maybe we forget to some level just how much He's blessed us, but I think we know He's blessed us. It is a problem for a majority of the world, though. They don't recognize God's blessings on their life. They don't recognize all the good things that God has given us. And one of the things that the devil will try to do is try to make you forget. The devil will try to get you focused on what you don't have rather than what you do have. And so what I can conclude is that people who lack gratitude, they often will lack it when they are prideful, entitled, and or ignorant. And here's what I mean by that. The prideful, entitled parts is that they're just full of themselves. They think that they are empowered. They are in power in their life. They are self-centered. They think that they're the only important person in the world and that everything should revolve around them. They're constantly putting themselves above others. And then you know you've been around some entitled people in life. They think they're entitled to life. They think they're entitled to be the first person in line at the grocery store. They think they're entitled to get their food as soon as they walk in the restaurant. They think they're entitled to whatever they think they should have in life. And ultimately, people who are lacking gratitude, they're ignorant of just how reliant they are on God. These three reasons right here are exactly why the people in this world do not recognize God's blessings on them. They don't recognize that they couldn't create life. It had to start somewhere. They are ignorant of the fact that they're not the one that makes sure the earth stays on its axis or that it spins at the correct rate. They are not the ones who created the sun, moon, and stars. They didn't create plants and animals for us to eat. They didn't create water for us to drink. They think all of this just happened. They don't think there's an intelligent creator behind all of this. So they don't think that they have anyone to show gratitude to. They think this is just how life works. And so because they have no one to show gratitude to for it, they think they're deserving of it and are in more control than they really are. Ultimately, they are prideful, entitled, and ultimately ignorant of the truth. And it's not their fault that they're ignorant, it's our fault. We're not making clear to them. And it's in Romans where it says the creation around us is really evidence that God is real. We can look outside. I'm probably going to do a whole sermon on evidence that God is real and why we should show gratitude to him. Like, just talk about the things that we have to be grateful for. But we can look around us and know that God is real. But let's talk about Christians. Let's talk about people who follow Jesus. Doesn't the devil try to work these very things into our life? Pride, entitlement, and some level of ignorance. And he does the ignorance part through deception. He deceives us. I know he does this in my life. He tries to steal my gratitude all the time. When life doesn't go our way, it can be easy to stop being thankful. What we start doing is, instead of focusing on what God has given us, we focus on what God hasn't given us that we wanted. Then we stop showing gratitude because we don't feel like we have a lot to be grateful for. And then we become entitled, prideful, and ultimately ignorant of everything God has given us. I've seen this happen in my life in two ways, and probably can apply it to you as well. First, this is how life is supposed to work. I skipped a point. This is how life is supposed to work. We're supposed to be worshiping God on the throne. So there's Jesus, there's God on the throne. Jesus is at his right hand. And we're supposed to be praising him, serving him, following him, under his authority, under his mighty hand. But after a certain time frame, sometimes this flips. And we put ourselves on the throne. And we think Jesus or God's supposed to be serving us. For me, I get this way when I think that I've done enough for God that he owes me. And as a pastor, it's easy for me to get that way because my literal job is to do God's work. I get paid to do God's work. And so when you devote your life to God, when you do all these things for God, it's easy for you to think that, hey, that bad thing should not have happened in my life. God owed me for that. God owes me that nothing should be going wrong. I fall under this category a lot, where I think God is there to serve me. Another way that this has spiked in my life is that I think we can fall for the lie that our life should be all good because God's our loving Father, right? And he wouldn't let nothing bad ever happen to us. We say if he created us, he better take care of us. And don't get me wrong, he is a good, loving Father. But the reality of life is that bad things happen to good people. He doesn't promise us that we won't go through struggles, but he does promise us he'll be with us in the struggles. But we can get this mindset that if he's the one who created us and if he is our loving Father, he better provide us with everything we need. There's actually scripture that says he provides us with everything we need. But when we make that statement, what we actually mean is that he better provide us with everything we want. And when life doesn't go the way we want, we lack gratitude. We become entitled. We become prideful. And ultimately ignorant of everything God has given us. Because see, here's the truth of the matter, and I got to go back two slides because I've put them out of order. We deserve nothing, so we should be grateful to have anything. We deserve nothing, so we should be grateful to have anything. The only thing you deserve is death. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. But thank God, the gracious gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You are entitled to nothing else other than death. Therefore, because we deserve nothing, we should be grateful for anything we have, including the very breath that we're breathing at this moment. Anything you have, your cars, your house, your money, your kids, your possessions, your spouse, anything you have is a gift from God. And anything you have, you do not deserve. God has looked at you with grace. That means that you didn't deserve the goodness that he has shown to you. And that includes salvation. Paul also tells us in Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8, while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous person, though perhaps for the good person someone would even dare die. But God demonstrates his own Lord love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, when we didn't deserve it, when we deserved death, Christ died for us. We all should be so grateful for that. You didn't deserve it, but he died for you anyway. Amen? Now, there's a balance here we have to reach. This is how our life is supposed to look. We're supposed to be worshiping God. We're supposed to be realizing, hey, I deserve nothing. So I'm grateful for anything. And I specifically put this person here raising their hands because what they're doing is they're receiving the blessings that God wants to give them in their life. But there is an unhealthy manner that we can reach when we say, I don't deserve anything. We can run away with that in an unhealthy way that ultimately is another form of pride. And let me explain this. This is actually coming, I found this on an article that a counselor wrote, and I thought it was really good. This is their quote. Through experiences, messages from others, self-doubt, and many other sources, people come to believe that they are undeserving of love, forgiveness, or care from others. So they say, I don't deserve it. And the counselor says, you're absolutely right. You don't. But you get it anyway. Because the truth is, we do not deserve it. And in God's infinite love for us, he deeply desires that we take hold of the gifts that he offers. What a blessing when those gifts also come in the form of care from our loved ones. Best way for me to think about it is, there's times where I'll get Sarah a gift and I'm so excited to give it to her. So excited for her to get home, so excited for her to see it, so excited to see her face, see her reaction, you know. I'm sure you felt that way, that you're excited to give a gift and see their reaction. But how would you feel if they would not even receive that gift? If I went to give Sarah something, I was so excited to see how she was going to respond, and she said, I don't want it. I don't care what it is. I'm not opening it. This is how God feels when we don't value the gifts that he is giving us. So this is why the counselor says this. When we fight accepting good things from God and those who love us because we don't deserve it, we actually are developing pride that focuses on self-loathing and fear. The pride comes in because you aren't receiving what God is wanting to give. So here's the picture I have for that one. God's trying to give you blessings, and your hands are crossed. I'm not receiving that. I don't want that. You're rejecting what God is wanting to do and give in your life. And is this person setting themselves up under the authority of God? No. This person is not accepting God's mighty hand. They're not putting themselves under his authority. They are choosing their own way, choosing not to accept the gift. And ultimately, they're choosing not to recognize the gift that God has given them. Counselor continued and said this, when deep gratitude begins to grow, so does a shift in our focus. Our vision is not overpowered by focus on myself and my inadequacy, but it is ruled by the lens of love. When I think about all God has done for me and how wonderful it is to count him as my friend, I want to honor him with how I treat his creation, including myself. Did you catch that? Instead of being overpowered by your own inadequacy, where you're not accepting what God wants to give, your hands are freely open, and you're instead choosing to look at all that God has given you in love, and you're choosing to accept that with a grateful heart, and all of a sudden, your attitude begins to change. The way you treat yourself, the way you treat others begins to change. You want to value the things that he has given us, including your very life. By simply coming to the realization that you don't deserve it, therefore we should be grateful for anything. And then, recognizing what all God has blessed us with, it creates a shift in our attitude, our view of life, and our walk with God. And ultimately, it creates a healthier life in general, which is where we started today's message with. And so I'm ending a little bit early today on purpose, because I think that to start off this gratitude series, I think I should give you an opportunity to show your gratitude to God for all that he has given you, including the very breath you're breathing right now. I think I should give you an opportunity to recognize what God has done for us and for you to show your appreciation to him. We didn't deserve anything, but God has given us things anyway. And so the way we're going to show it is in the only way, or is in the way of showing it through worship. And God is the only one that you can show appreciation to through worship. We don't worship other people. We worship God alone. So this is a unique way for you to worship, a unique way for you to show gratitude through worship, thanking God for all he's given us and all he's done for us. And so, worship team, you'll be making your way up to the front. And as you are, I'm going to read Psalm 100, verse 4 again and talk about it a little bit more here. It says, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Going back to the heaven series, I heard one of the near-death experiences. What they saw was this courtyard, and the next part says courtyards, and enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courtyards with praise. In heaven, they went through a gate, and they entered this courtyard. And in this courtyard was millions of people. And the way that I imagined it was almost like a temple. Or even, I think the picture I have in my head is something like the Lincoln Memorial, how Lincoln's sitting on that big chair. They entered into those courtyards. They entered into those gates. And when they did, they saw millions of people before the throne. And on that throne was seated God the Father, and at his right hand was Jesus. And these people were singing his praises, raising their hands in worship, giving thanks to him, blessing his name. This is the same attitude we should have when we come to worship him. In fact, Scripture says we're joining in with the saints. He's enthroned on the praises of his people. Essentially what that means is that you go back to the whole concept that he's the only one that we can show our appreciation to through worship. When you're worshiping God, you're showing that he is the only one deserving of praise. He's the only one that really is God. And so this is an opportunity for us today. Our worship team has mashed a couple songs together, a couple of our favorites. So it's going to be a little bit longer worship set here at the end, but have mashed a couple of our songs together for us to worship him today as we end by showing our gratitude to God in a way that he deserves. So if we'll stand to your feet, I want to pray.